I'm going to invite your attention this morning to the 13th verse, the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 11. And if you have a red letter edition of the Bible, you will notice that all of these words that I previously read in your hearing are all in red because they are the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so what I'm going to be talking to you about this morning are some of those words that Jesus spoke so long ago, and yet they're so relevant for our day and so very important to us as God's children today. But the 13th verse of Luke 11 says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him." Now I want us to think today about asking for the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus says. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Would you join your heart again with me in a word of prayer? Our dear God and eternal Father, You've taught us in this passage that we're to ask that we might receive. And that's in a rather general form to just think about so many different kinds of blessings that we might need. But these words seem to focus on something very specific. And that is that as Thy children we can ask for the Holy Spirit. And dear Lord, I pray today that by the blessings of the Holy Spirit, I will be able to preach Thy Word, dear Father, that I'll have liberty to proclaim Thy Word of truth, that I can honor and glorify You and the Lord Jesus Christ for all Your goodness and grace in all of our lives. And I do thank You, dear Lord, for the blessings that we have in being here in Thy house today and the comforts of this place, together with Thy dear children, to be able to worship Thee together, to lift our hearts in prayer and in praise to Thee, O Lord, today. We need Your blessings upon us. We need Your Holy Spirit to be with us. And, O Lord, we pray for grace for this hour, for preaching grace, for hearing grace, and the grace to live our lives each day for Thy glory. Lord, we realize that there are some who would be here today. Were they not providentially hindered, some not feeling well, not able to come. But Lord, I do pray for them and for Thy blessings upon them, that they'll be feeling better soon and able to be in Thy house once more. And I pray, Lord, for each one who is here today, by Your Holy Spirit, tune our hearts. By Your Holy Spirit, feed our souls. And by Your Holy Spirit, open our eyes of understanding, that we may give You praise and glory. For we ask it all in the name of Christ our Savior and for His glory. And amen. If you have your Bibles open and you're looking at this particular verse of Scripture and the Scriptures that precede it, you'll notice that almost all of the verses that precede this 13th verse are in the color of red in red letter editions, because beginning at the second verse and all the way through this 13th verse, these are the words of Jesus. And if you'll notice in the very first division of this particular chapter, verses 1 through 4, He is dealing with that passage that we often refer to as the Lord's Prayer, or as I like to call it, the Model Prayer, because I like to think about the Lord's Prayer as being in the Gospel of John chapter 17. And that's where the Lord is actually talking to His Heavenly Father and actually praying to Him. And that entire chapter is the prayer of our Lord. But this is a part of that prayer as a model prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. And then the second division, beginning at verse 5 and going through verse 8, is the need for persistent prayers. And He talks about importunity. And what He is saying, as I understand it, is that there is a need for persistent prayers. There are times when we pray for something that we need and we ask God and we just leave it there and move on with life. But there are times when we need to come to God again and again and again and just keep on praying to Him with the hope that in God's time He will answer that prayer. I remember a church that I pastored some years ago, and there was an elderly deacon way up in years, but still able to be in God's house. But his son, over the years, had drifted away from the church, and it had grieved that old father's heart. And when I became his pastor, and I was visiting with him one day, he wanted to ask me a question. I was glad for him to do it, and he said to me, he said, "I've been praying for 20 years for my son to come back to church. Is it time to quit?" I said, "No, sir. Just keep on praying." And I said, "I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll help you pray about it." And it wasn't my prayers. No, I'm not saying that. But I'm just helping the old brother pray. But you know, in about a year's time or maybe less, that son came back. He got really involved in the church all over again. And that old father was able to die with the joy that his son had come home to the church again. And what a blessing it was to him. So yes, we are to continue to pray about things that are important. Just keep carrying them to the Lord. But then the third division and the passage of Scripture that I've read in your hearing is an encouragement to pray. And that's why he begins verse 9 by saying, "I say unto you, ask and it shall be given, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you." And then he says these words of assurance, "For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." So these are encouraging words to me, brothers and sisters, to encourage that we are to keep on praying, to believe that in God's good time, and we have to see things done in God's time, not ours. So we just keep praying because God has promised that He will answer prayer. But then He tells us specifically, as I've said, in this last verse, verse 13, that we are to ask. And I understand that to be descriptive of prayer, that we are to ask for the Holy Spirit. Now, when I say the Holy Spirit, you understand that that is synonymous with the Holy Ghost. The Bible in 1 John 5:7 says that we worship a Trinity. It doesn't call Him by that name, but it says there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. So He's describing the Father, our Heavenly Father, Christ as the living incarnate Word of God that John mentions in John 1 through 3 and then in verse 14 of that first chapter. But then He mentions the Holy Ghost. And I just want to remind you of the fact that the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost are just two different names for the Spirit of the living God, just like Jesus and Christ are two different names for the Son of God, our Savior. But He says that we are to ask the Heavenly Father to give the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a reason that we're to do that. We are, first of all, to realize the importance of the Holy Spirit in the lives of God's children. Have you ever thought about how essential the Holy Spirit is to us? Well, the first thing I want to say to you this morning, really beyond the introduction, is that do you realize that here, the Word of God, the Holy Bible, you and I would not have it? We would not be blessed by its truth if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us in the words of the Apostle Paul, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. And that's 2 Timothy 3:16. And when he says that it's given by the inspiration of God, he is saying that it is God who by the Holy Spirit has breathed upon the various writers of the Bible. And to confirm that is true, 2 Peter 1:21 explains a little more about inspiration to say, for the prophecy, that's the Word of God, the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, didn't come by men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And that's the last verse of that first chapter of 2 Peter. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit came upon men like Moses and Isaiah and Ezekiel and Zechariah and Haggai and Malachi and all of the prophets of the Old Testament. God is telling us that the reason we have His Word, the reason the Bible is with us, is because God has breathed upon those holy men. And the Holy Ghost had moved upon them and stirred in the very depths of their soul. They were stirred to know what God was communicating to them so that they would write it down, so that we would understand that Isaiah didn't just decide one day to say, you know, I think I'll write a book. I think I'll get started today. And when I get it finished, you know, maybe some folks will like to read it. Well, see, that would have made it of men, wouldn't it? It made it of a man. No, it didn't come that way. But there was a time when God, by the Holy Spirit, moved upon Isaiah and began to fill his heart and his mind with the Word of God. And then he had a book to write, didn't he? And it was a book that revealed so much about our Savior. So I just want you to remember today as I move into this message about the Holy Spirit, and I was praying for the Holy Spirit, that without the Word of God, or without the Holy Spirit, we would not have the Word of God as it is written. And so that's one of the blessings. And God calls it His Word. He said, so shall it be that the Word that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I have sent it. And God said that through His prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 55 in verse 11. God said, my word is going out of my mouth. It will be upon old Isaiah. God blessed and filled his heart, and he wrote the word of God. And God says, that word that I'm sending out is not going to be void. It's not going to be in vain. There's going to be some fruit and some blessing of it. And I'll tell you, if you ever read the 53rd chapter of Isaiah's prophecy, your heart was blessed by those wonderful truths that told us of the coming Jesus and many other places. So, yeah, it did exactly what God said it would do. So the Holy Spirit, so important because He has inspired the Bible to be written. But there's another thing that's a factor in all of this, and I want to cover that as my second point in my sermon. Even though the Holy Spirit has written the Bible, inspired it to be written, you and I would not care anything about it, have any confidence in it, nor would it be of any value to us if it were not the fact that we believe in God and have faith in Him. And where did we get it? We got it through the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And that's in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The Spirit of God, as He comes into us, as He came into us at some point in time in our past, the Holy Spirit quickened us from death in sin to a life in Christ. The Holy Spirit took us who were depraved and the wages of sin, great burden upon our soul, and yet He could tell us about the Savior who died for those sins, washed them all away in His shed blood. And so without the Holy Spirit having quickened us from death in sin to life in Christ, we would not have understood who Jesus was. We would not have faith in God to believe His Word. We would today be like millions of other people on the face of the earth who have no concept of the truths of this, the Word of God. And if you read it and you share it with them, they don't want anything to do with it. They have no faith in God. They do not know there is a God. They do not understand that the only begotten Son of God came into the world to die for our sin. And without God working in us by the power of His Holy Spirit, you and I wouldn't know that either. You see, Jesus was born by the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember when the angel Gabriel was sent to Mary? It's in the first chapter of this book of Luke. And he told her that she was going to give birth to the Son of God. I'm just kind of abbreviating in the essence of time. And Mary didn't understand. He's talking about her giving birth to a son, and she has never had intimacy with a man. And so she asked the question, how can this be, seeing I know not a man? She couldn't understand. But then the angel explained it to her. He said in verse 35 of that first chapter, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee, and therefore also that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And that explained it to her. And that blessed her to know that God was at work through the Holy Spirit, that she was going to conceive not of a man, but of the Holy Spirit of God. This Christ child would be conceived and would be born by her to be the only begotten Son of God to live and walk on this earth for some years and then to suffer and bleed and die for our sins and the sins of all God's elect whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Holy Spirit's the reason Jesus was born. But let me add this very quickly. The Holy Spirit is the reason you and I have been born again. We were born of our earthly mother and father. But we were then born again. We are twice born. We have heaven's birth. We studied in Bible study this morning about Nicodemus coming to Jesus. And Nicodemus didn't understand about this thing called the new birth. And he questions the Lord about it. And the Lord explains a lot in that chapter, third chapter of the Gospel of John. But then he comes down to say, and this is so, it simplifies it to me. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth, he said, where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, and canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And that's John chapter 3, verses 6, 7, and 8. But now, that 8th verse, when he said, you must be born again, he uses that 8th verse as an explanation to kind of clarify that in our minds and hearts to say, well, you understand the wind blows. The Holy Spirit's like the wind. Can you see the wind? No. You can't see the Holy Spirit either. Can you feel the wind? Yes, if you're out there in it, you'll feel it. Cold or hot, you'll feel it. And you can feel the Holy Spirit. Can you see the effects of the wind? Yes, I can see it in the leaves and the limbs of the tree and in the flag that waves in the wind. I can see the effects of the wind. Can I see the effects of the Holy Spirit? Yes, praise God, I can. I can see it in your life. I can feel it in my life and see God working in my life as He is working in your life. Isn't it a blessing that we can think of the wind, the power of it? It moves at the will and discretion of God and not men. Governments can't control it. Presidents and kings can't control it. The devil can't even totally control it. All he can do is if he moves, as in Job's time, God has to allow it. Because God is sovereign and not Satan. So, the wind is like the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is like the wind. There are some very great similarities. So we are born again. One day God's wind of the Holy Spirit blew into my heart, and He blew into your heart, and we were made alive in Jesus. We were born again. And you know, it made a difference in us, didn't it? I think it did yours as it did mine. I said in my sermon last Sunday, there are things in all of our lives, no doubt, all of us, if we could, would go back and erase them out so they never existed, but we can't. All we can do is ask God to forgive us for those days, as Paul did, and understanding that. But brothers and sisters, when the Spirit of God quickens us and we're born again, do you know what happens? The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. In other words, we are made new creatures in Christ Jesus. And that's 2 Corinthians 5:17. We are new creatures. We have been born again, and old things have passed away, and all things have become new. I've seen people able to break the vice of alcohol and the grip of alcohol and drugs and tobacco and a lot of other things that they wanted to be free of and they couldn't on their own. But I've seen them able to lay it down and to move on. I've seen in other things, you know, that people have come to realize was wrong in their lives, that were displeasing to God. They were able to lay it down because they wanted to do it, because the Spirit of God had quickened them and they could say, God's going to give me the power. Bless me to be able to do it, because I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I mentioned to you a man, I think last Sunday, that had wanted me to know his past before others told me about him, if you recall that. Well, I'll tell you the man that I saw and the man that I knew, and I don't call any names like that, but I'll tell you this. He was truly a new creature in Christ. I saw the Spirit of God in him. I saw it in his face when he sang God's praise. I saw it in his joy of service and his faithfulness to the Lord. See, new creatures. New creatures. Old things pass away. All things become new. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to live without sin. No. But I tell you, we're new creatures. We got a new heart. The old stony heart's gone and the fleshly heart has been given. We would not have a love for God and His Word. We would not have faith to believe what it says if it were not for the Holy Spirit of God. That's the point I want to drive home there. Because having seen that the Holy Spirit has given us the inspired Word of God, the Bible, and having seen that the Spirit of God has changed our hearts and our lives and enabled us to believe the Word of truth, then we can come to embrace this, that there is also something beyond the inspiration of Scripture, something beyond the work of regeneration or the new birth. There's something beyond that that we need the Spirit of God to be able to do. And thus Jesus says to ask the Heavenly Father for the Holy Spirit. You might be wondering in your mind, or you might already know where I'm going. But I want to tell you today, we need the Holy Spirit for right where we are right now. We do. I can't preach without the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you something, you really can't hear with understanding hearts without the Holy Spirit either. The Holy Spirit has to be there. The Holy Spirit has to be here with us. He has to be with His people wherever they are, met in the Word of truth. Because the Spirit of God is able to give us power upon us. Now let me make this distinction. When we are born again, it is because the Holy Spirit comes inside of us and lives within us. A little of God lives in us through the Holy Spirit. But there are times when we are endeavoring to serve God as we are now, and we need the Spirit of God to come upon us, not in us, but upon us, that it might empower us in God's service to do what we could not do in ourselves. And that's what I'm talking about now. Now, I want to give you a couple of verses over in the first chapter of the second chapter of the book of Acts. The first chapter, we find in verse 8, Jesus is talking to His disciples. And He says these words, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." He said there's a power going to come to you after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That's going to empower you. What was He talking about? Well, when He completed those words, you probably remember what happened. He ascended up out of their sight and was taken up into heaven. They had to wait at Jerusalem for a while, but what happened in the second chapter? The day of Pentecost was fully come. It was a time when the Jews met in worship, but there's something very special going to happen this Pentecost. That Pentecost was going to be the time when what Jesus had been talking about was going to become reality. The Spirit of God was going to be poured down upon them, and they were going to be empowered in the preaching of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, I said you could see the effects of the wind. You can hear the wind too. When it's rushing, I've heard it going around the corner, of howling around the corner on a windy night. You know, brothers and sisters, the Bible tells us the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost came down on the day of Pentecost, and He sounded as a mighty rushing wind. And not only did they hear the sound of the moving and the coming of the Holy Spirit, but they saw Him as though He were a cloven tongue of fire sitting upon them. And it moves on down later in that chapter to tell us that as those disciples or apostles of our Lord, as they preached the Word of God and they preached Jesus, something miraculous happened. Every person, there were Jews from various nations and kindreds that had gathered at Jerusalem because they were of the Jewish religion. And they heard in their own language, in their own tongue. Isn't that amazing that they could do that? Well, how in the world did that happen? By the power of the Holy Spirit. And then, bless God, Brother Peter, God filled him up as a vessel and he began to preach Jesus. He went back to the prophecy of Joel and he brought the Word of God to them. He went back to the book of Psalms and he brought the Word of God to them. And he came to preach Jesus and came to this conclusion: therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that this same Jesus whom you have crucified, God hath made him Lord and Christ. We're told in verse 37 they were pricked in their hearts. I believe the Holy Spirit did it, brothers and sisters, pricked in their hearts. And began to say, men and brethren, what shall we do? And they were told to repent and to be baptized. And they that gladly received His word were baptized. And the Lord added unto them about 3,000 souls. Isn't that amazing? I've never known that to happen at any time. What? How did it happen? Why did it happen? Because you see, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, came down upon them and empowered the Word. It's the only way it works, folks. You can go to a stadium and watch a ball game. You don't necessarily need the Holy Spirit to watch them play ball. You can go to a concert and listen to a professional artist in music or whatever present their skill. You don't necessarily need the Holy Spirit to do that. But I tell you, when you come into the house of Almighty God, you need the Holy Spirit to help you understand the Word of God. And I need Him to help me preach it. See, that's why we're to ask for the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is present, things are going to happen that won't happen any other time. I'm going to share with you an experience that I think is an example of what I'm trying to talk to you about and tell you today. Many years ago, when I went to pastor the Statesboro Church, Elder V.F. Hagin, I think most of you probably remember or have heard the name. A great godly man of God. Man I respect and loved tremendously. And I had the time to be with him because he was getting up in years, couldn't drive very well and all that. And I would go get him and he would ride with me and we would go to various ministerial meetings and things like that. And he told me one day, and I don't think he would mind me sharing it with you, as great a man of God as he was, he told me, he said, you know, I remember my worst effort to preach. He knew where the church was. He told me. He said, I was preaching a meeting there. And I got up one night and I tried to preach. I was trying to preach from the passage over in Exodus 20 when the Ten Commandments said, Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for he will not hold him guiltless who taketh his name in vain. And he said, that's the 17th verse of the 20th chapter. He said, I was trying to preach about it. And I couldn't preach about it. I couldn't preach. He said, I just failed. The worst I had ever failed in my life to try to preach. He said, I was so ashamed in my heart. I didn't want to go greet the people. I wanted to go out the back door, get in my car, and go home. But he said, I didn't. I went on and greeted them. Now, listen carefully to what I'm about to tell you. Years later, a man walked up to Brother Agin. He said, Brother Agin, do you remember a certain church where you preached a meeting? Do you remember the sermon you preached on not taking the name of God in vain? Brother Agin said, I wanted to hang my head and say, yes, I do. But that man said to Brother Agin this. He said, I came under conviction in that sermon that I've been sinning against God by taking His name in vain. And I made a commitment that God helping me, I would never take His name in vain again. Now, how did that work? This great man of God stands before the people and makes the biggest flop he's ever made. And that man's heart comes under conviction. I'll tell you how it works. The Spirit of God, in spite of the failure of a man, took the Word of God in that man's heart and made it real to him. See why we need to pray for the Holy Spirit. Because He's the only one who can do that. I can't do it. But I will tell you this, and I'm always reluctant about personal illustrations, but I tell you this because it glorifies God. It does not glorify me. It glorifies God. While I was at Statesboro, I cannot tell you the day. I cannot tell you what I preached on. I don't even know if I preached worth anything that day or not. But I can tell you what God did. We had a Boy Scout troop in the church and a little troop house about half a block away. Our scout group had gone off on a trip and they didn't get back in time for church, but they got there close to the end of church. And one boy was walking to the church to meet his parents because he knew they would be at church. He came to me later and said, Brother Bill, what was going on at the church? Now, this child told me this. He said, when I was walking toward the church, I saw what looked like a cloud, a little cloud over the church, and it looked like fingers going down into the church. Do you know what was going on inside the church when that boy saw that outside the church? There was a young lady, a grown adult young lady, sitting beside her father and her mother on the other side of her father. I remember it vividly. They sat about in the third row in the center. When we gave the invitation, her heart was stirred by the Spirit of God. I couldn't do it, but God did. And she came down and asked for a home in the church and wanted to follow Christ in baptism. I stood her before the church and asked the church what they wanted to do, and they received her, and they came to give her the right hand in fellowship and embrace her. Her father was overcome. He came weeping. And his daughter was grown, and he'd never made a profession of his faith in Christ. He had never joined the church and been baptized, but he came that day and wanted to. And brothers and sisters, I tell you this, to the glory of our God, one after the other, after the other, after the other came. Until there was a line of people all the way across that church. There were 18 people. I've never had an experience like that before or since. That was my Pentecost experience, if you may say that. And I didn't do it. God did it. It takes God's Holy Spirit for the church to have life and power. And the preaching of the Word to have power in our hearts and our lives. It's long ago, God said it so beautifully. He said it to Zerubbabel. He sent the word to Zerubbabel in through the prophet Zechariah. And he said, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Did you know it's as true today as it was then? It's not by my efforts. It's not by my preaching. It's not by my power. It's the power of God. It's the power of the Holy Spirit at work among His people. That's the power. And thus, it is to the glory of God. That's why Paul put it like this. He said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Paul said, I don't want you to have faith in me as the preacher. I want you to have faith in God. I want you to realize this thing is something bigger than me. That this is not by my wisdom. It's not by my knowledge. It's not by my understanding. It's by the power of God through the Holy Spirit. If there's any preaching. And I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, there have been times like Brother Hagin, I felt like I just stumbled and fell. And there have been other times when my heart's been lifted up almost to the gates of paradise. And the difference was not in me. The difference was in the power of God in the midst of His people. Now with that in your heart, listen. If ye then, being evil, see, he says, you know, you're human beings. We're all sinners. The Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if we're evil, and if our child says, I want a piece of bread, we wouldn't give him a stone. If our child said, I want a fish, we wouldn't give him a snake. You know, we're human beings, but we try to give to our children what they need. And if we try to do that for our children, this is what Jesus is saying. How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? I can't ask it for you. I only can ask it for me. But I have been asking and praying. I have been praying for you in that. But you need to be asking too. You need to be saying, Lord, when I enter your house, let the Holy Spirit speak to my heart. Send the Holy Spirit to address my needs and help me to be a better person. To live more for your glory and honor. You and I, as the children of God, have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, born of the Spirit of God. And yet we continue to need the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit all throughout our lives and all our endeavors. Let's ask Him to send the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, every time you get ready to come to the house of God, pray at your house. Pray while you come in here. Pray when you get here. Pray, Lord, I'm asking for your Holy Spirit to be here today. I want the preacher to be able to preach. I want the Word to be alive for me. I want to be able to embrace it in my heart, and I want to live it. And I need your Holy Spirit to be able to do it. So, Lord, I'm asking you for the Holy Spirit. I believe it'll always make a difference in our lives if we remember to do that. And God bless you in receiving His Word into your heart today. And may God bless it for your good and God's glory is my prayer for Christ's sake.